It's Thursday, the day we read from your letters to the program. The first two parts of our series on European attitudes toward the United States have gotten many listeners riled up. NPR seems to be giving all those European countries a chance to give their opinion of evil America, writes Ann Diggins of Henderson, Nevada. I have no interest in the expected European complaining while they offer no alternative solutions to solve the current state of the world. I'll be interested to know if NPR will be giving equal time to Americans' view of the world. That would be a series worth hearing. Dave Snell from Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania writes, "When I think that my father's generation spilled their blood in Germany and France, and now those countries would not sign on to help us when we were attacked, infuriates me. I say the next time they have a problem, we forget about them." By the way, Mr. Snell gave us advice on how to pronounce his name. He said it rhymes with hell, as in go to hell, France and Germany. Many of you were touched by Noah Adams' story of a working mother in Maine, part of an occasional series examining the lives of low-wage workers. But Jason Beck of Portland, Oregon, objects. Mr. Beck says he's one of those workers, and he finds the series insulting and condescending. He says the tone of his story suggests that there is something wrong with those who work for low wages, that we are losers, freaks, or exotic creatures. He may as well be traveling all over America to various zoos and do stories about the exotic and endangered animals at those zoos. A story last week about campgrounds in New Hampshire closing for the winter and displacing campers who are otherwise homeless brought this comment from Steve Swan in Jackson, Wyoming. "I enjoyed your piece, but as a former long-term camper, I feel you missed an important motivation of long-term campers. Most of the campers we met were camping not as much for economic necessity, but just because they were following an American heritage of living outside. Even though we kept a fastidious camp, there is a great deal of prejudice against permanent campers. We just wanted to enjoy the wonderful assets our country has to offer." Some found the poetry of Suji Kwak Kim, a Korean-American whose work we featured earlier this week, not to their taste. David Kolchek of Sacramento, California, thought it the worst he'd ever heard. "It is presumptuous," he writes, "that Kim assumes that just because her parents were from Korea, that she can feel the pain of the people of a country where she has barely lived." But Tracy Wickett in Brownsville, Texas, expressed how she felt in a poem of her own. "Heart-stopping, breathtaking, skin-crawling, beauty." And the interview wasn't bad either, Miss Wickett noted. Let us know how you feel about what you hear on the program in verse or prose via email. The address is atc@npr.org, and be sure to include where you're writing from and how to pronounce your name. Our program is directed by Bob Boylan, edited by Steve Drummond, and produced by Graham Smith. The technical director is Michael Cullen. Audio engineers include Manoli Weatherall and Neil Rausch of New York City, Lorna White and Rob Newhouse in Chicago, and Leo Del Aguila and Marcia Caldwell in Los Angeles. The executive producer for our program is Christopher Turpin. I'm Michelle Norris. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.